Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
2014 is the anniversary of the Great War that united Australia and New Zealand in friendship. 100 years ago, both countries sent people to fight a battle in which both countries' peoples were treated as just common cannon fodder for an empire that had no interest at all in their well-being. 100 years on, the kitchen table takes a look at recently introduced legislation that impacts New Zealanders who live in Australia and love Australians. We're using pavlova as our vehicle. We're taking Anzac biscuits to the next level, and by the next level I mean my mouth, and lamb to channel our feelings. I'm Shannon Gillies.
I'm Christian Vega.
And I'm Johnny Lemon.
Today we talk about our feelings for food. We talked to New Zealand lobby group Oz Kiwi about what is happening in Australia for New Zealanders. We've tried to get comment from the Department of Immigration, but they are still not available and still not returning my calls. It's like a terrible date gone even worse.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Recently in media, there's been discussions around New Zealand's you're basically New Zealanders who work here and how we work and we pay tax, but we don't get representation and we don't have certain access to certain bits of welfare. And we're represented by some types of media as just the biggest bludgers. But, you know, how does it work when we're not actually able to claim welfare? And then we're told that we're lazy, but we actually have a higher amount of employment than Australians do per capita. So I will be arguing today for the rights of New Zealanders, and my lovely colleague, my learned colleague, Johnny Lemon, it will be voting or be voicing his concerns about my chances of getting the right to vote.
I'll be on the opposite side of this debate because you need an opposition and I like to oppose everything.
Well, look, I think that's interesting. When Shannon sort of proposed this idea, my immediate reaction was I don't know enough about this topic. And certainly I have a lot of friends who are from New Zealand, and certainly I've heard them complain about particular conditions that they're living under. So a lot of them are very involved in things like politics and the workforce, and feel like that they're very disempowered by that situation. But my immediate reaction was, I actually don't know enough information. So I think this is a really interesting opportunity to explore a lot of those issues and be and listen to a lot of information, a lot of arguments from both sides. Because I think the other argument is immediately, as an Australian, I'm like, well, you probably do need to be a citizen to have the vote. But I understand that there's a lot of reasons why people wouldn't agree with that. So I think this is a really good opportunity to hear from that.
I also, part of what we'll be exploring later on is the shared culture that Australia and New Zealand has, especially through food. I mean, we continually argue over the existence of pavlova. I mean, we all know the New Zealanders made it. And lamingtons. But first of all, we're going to jump to our first guest from Oz Kiwi, which is a New Zealand lobby group here fighting for the rights of New Zealanders. And we are bringing to you the always very informed Tim Gasson.
In Australia. So a Kiwi could have been living here for, say, 12 years now. They end up in a relationship with someone who's not an Australian citizen. They can't actually sponsor that person to live in Australia. They can sponsor them for a series of temporary visas that let them live here for, I think, 5 years at a time. That partner doesn't get access to Medicare, doesn't get anything. So essentially those people could, with their New Zealand citizen partner, live in Australia forever, but then also enjoy no rights, even fewer rights than the New Zealand citizens. The other things that have come in since then, a number of states, including Victoria, have stripped Kiwis of access to public housing, to student concession cards for travel. That came in 2008. They've been stripped of access to seniors cards in Victoria.
Which really?
It sort of got to this remarkable level of stinginess. And the seniors card one, I think, is just something that some of us only discovered quite recently, and we're amazed because Victoria signed agreements with every other state and with New Zealand to mutually recognise each other's cards. So a New Zealander travelling to Victoria from New Zealand can claim seniors' discounts in Victoria, but a Kiwi living here can't.
How has the government been allowed to pass such laws, considering New Zealand and Australia traditionally are meant to be close allies?
I think essentially, for the most part, it's just been done without any particular scrutiny. It's happened without any public announcement. So, for example, with the case of student concession cards in Victoria, a lot of Kiwi students, whether they're at university or at schools, just turned up wondering, why didn't I get a concession card form this year? They tried to go to their schools or university saying, well, can I get the form? They said, no, you're not eligible anymore. So they only discovered that, and suddenly their public transport costs doubled overnight, essentially. And in many cases, we've found talking to politicians, they're often not aware exactly of what's happened. In some cases, it's been a change in departmental policy that's been enacted by bureaucrats. And sometimes they've just sort of thought, oh, well, Kiwis aren't covered for this, therefore they're not covered for that. And they haven't actually seen how these things add up and cause real problems.
Okay, so what's the flip side of the coin? What can Australians expect when they go to New Zealand? Do we do this to you guys?
No. New Zealand treats Australians very well. That Australians going to New Zealand can vote after 1 year there. That they can access, they're eligible for the full range of social security after 2 years. Really, even from the moment an Australian gets off the plane in New Zealand, if something extraordinary happens to them, they can still seek help from the New Zealand government. That they can get a thing called a special benefit if they're in an extraordinary position where they otherwise would be in a really desperate position and wouldn't be able to get help. And after 5 years, Australians going to New Zealand can apply for New Zealand citizenship, although that doesn't really bring them a great deal more than what they already enjoy, since they can already vote and really participate in New Zealand society fully.
So that was Tim Gasson from AusKiwi.
That is Tim discussing the benefits that Australians get to enjoy in New Zealand, which I find extraordinary.
Yeah, so there's a bit of an imbalance there, isn't there, Shannon?
There really is. And I think what's important is to give you a bit of a background. Since 2001, mm-hmm. New Zealanders moving to Australia have not been automatically considered permanent residents. And what's important mm-hmm. to remember before that is, as we were. So basically, we're trying to fight for rights that we've lost.
Yeah, I think we should talk a lot more about that when we come back from these messages. You're on the kitchen table here on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Hi, you're on the kitchen table with Johnny, Shannon and Christian. Before that break, we did hear from Tim Gasson from AusKiwi talking about a bit of the work, or a bit of the, benefits that Australians can enjoy in New Zealand, but that doesn't seem to be reciprocated here in Australia. So just a little bit about the organisation AusKiwi. The AusKiwi campaign for a fair pathway to citizenship is a peaceful response to the Australian government to make changes that will enable New Zealanders to naturalise within a designated time period, essentially enabling them to have a vote. The campaign also seeks to overturn the 2001 changes to Social Security, which they see as unjustified laws, which have withdrawn New Zealander access to bilateral trans-Tasman travel arrangements for New Zealanders. Shannon, did you want to describe a little bit more about what AusKiwi does? Have you had a lot to do with the organisation?
I've recently just gotten involved because I've got family who've been living here for decades, mm-hmm. and they've described their ease of transition into Australian culture. And part of that was not having to really go through the citizenship test. You basically were given it. Mm-hmm. And I'm very jealous of that. And also because my family members have had children here, so they've had Australian children, those kids, because they're the children of New Zealanders, aren't considered Australian citizens until they've been here for 10 years. Right. So only one of those kids have made it to that 10-year threshold at the moment. So mm-hmm. it's kind of grates my orange, if you will, that you have these kids who grow up in the Australian culture, or their friends are Australians, they enjoy the Australian education system, but they're not considered Australians, even though it's the only culture they've ever known. Mm. And everything they've given, everything, I know people go, but they don't pay tax. But you can do more to give back to a culture than pay tax. You know, these kids are the friends of Australians, so they give friendship, they do this. But they're not considered Australians.
Yeah, certainly.
They've never been anywhere else.
Yeah, I can relate to a lot of that because because my family are migrants to Australia, and I've certainly had cousins who've grown up, who've gone through like primary school, high school, but because, and it's this extraordinarily cruel thing that immigration has a tendency to do, at the 9-year mark is when they start sort of scrutinizing things like visas and making decisions to like either deport people or naturalize them. And like, I mean, these are people who I'm blood related to, who've gone through primary school, almost finished high school, and then the decisions made that, you know, permanent residency or citizenship isn't granted to their parents. So suddenly they're deported, even though back to a country that they didn't go to school in, they don't speak the language of. And it does, it creates this displacement for a lot of people. And I think Australians' treatment of migrants is... could be better, but I think surprisingly, you know, with the New Zealand situation, considering how close we are and a lot of the special relationship that we have, that sort of lack of ideal treatment is still extended to New Zealanders.
It's considering we've got such a shared culture, and we've been, you know, it's 100 years since the Great War, and I think this is just a great benchmark really to stand by, that we've been together now for 100 years. Surely we can back each other up on this. And considering that when Australians go to New Zealand, they are given the rights that they actually deserve. The rights that say we are a friendship.
Yeah.
Australia doesn't reciprocate.
I'm getting a look over here. You're waiting for me to jump in.
Tell me to shut up at any point.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I think the whole kids becoming citizens after 10 years or whatever, maybe that's a bit long, but I mean, I think if it's a New Zealander who is living in Australia and have a kid there, the kid should have dual citizenship. I think Canada does something similar to that, where if your child is born in Canada, no matter what nationality you are, they get Canadian citizenship as well. So I don't understand why that isn't in place. But to be fair, Tim Gasson, who we just heard from earlier, was talking about that an Australian citizen who is married a New Zealand non-Australian citizen can essentially live in Australia for their entire lives without going through the benefits of Medicare and that kind of thing, which kind of makes me question, if they're going to live their entire lives in Australia, why wouldn't you just apply for the citizenship after 4 years anyway? You know what I mean?
I think basically the point Tim is making is that we didn't have to, and all of a sudden we have to. And it just seems to be like a backhanded thing that the Australian politicians have pulled. And the fact that they never make any real public announcements, they don't really put this out for the general public view. It's sort of like, well, what are you trying to hide? I also want to point out at this point, that's really bad of me. I use words. is that we did try and get in touch with the Australian government. We did try and get the Department of Immigration to talk to us, but they refused. And they've refused for almost a month to come and talk to us about this. So I think that also speaks volumes.
And before we went to that break, Shannon, you were starting to describe, you know, at the point at which things did change. Because so previously, the situation was a lot easier for New Zealanders to, I guess, become citizens of Australia. But that did change relatively recently.
In 2001. So since 2001, New Zealanders moving to Australia have not been automatically considered permanent residents and must instead apply for a temporary visa, such as the special category visa. So holders of the temporary visa, such as the SCV, do not have access to welfare. So you're looking at people who are, you know, they're your work colleagues, or they're your potential dates. They're the potentials that you meet on Grindr. Sorry, talking. I'm on a gay lesbian radio station. Here we are. So we don't have access to voting rights. And this is really what gets me, the idea that you can tax me, but I have no representation. And I'm not saying at the moment that I want the representation Australia offers its own citizens. But I think it's a raw deal to sit there and take my money and say, you view me as an Australian in the law when it comes to tax. But in any other sort of things, I don't get it.
I kind of think, though, like, I mean, why would you, if you're moving to any country, you have to pay tax no matter what. And I kind of agree with that, in order to get the vote in Australia, which it is at the moment, it's like you can't vote unless you're an Australian citizen. And I don't have a problem with that. It's like if you really want to join Australia and become a permanent resident and a citizen and have your vote and have your say, just become a citizen after 4 years. It's like,
but I didn't have to wait 4 years before. Why? And my relatives didn't have to wait 4 years. Like, why do I have to wait 4 years?
Someone had a piece of cake in your face. It's like, now you can't have this cake for 4 more years.
But, yeah, and cake is delicious. Why would you do that? Why would you offer cake and take it away?
But what? To be like, I mean, after hearing
like
about
a horrible relative.
After hearing though, like the benefits that Australians can get from going to New Zealand, I was actually really surprised that I could potentially just go to New Zealand and straight off the bat get welfare, which really kind of shocks me because I wouldn't expect somebody. I mean, I wouldn't expect to go to a country and then be able to just start taking money from welfare regardless. I mean, if I was going to move somewhere, I would want to have a plan in place to get a job and that kind of thing.
So is that a byproduct though of the previous relationship that Australia had with New Zealand? So was that part of the previous agreement? And then it sounds like we changed things on the Australian side, but the New Zealanders didn't change their situation at all.
It is a byproduct of previous governments, and that's Conservative and Labor.
Mm-hmm.
But Australia did change, and I think this is just going to be a personal opinion and no way reflects reality. I think it's a sign of New Zealand maturity. I really do. I think it's a sign that we are far more liberal people. We have marriage equality, for instance. We gave our Indigenous people the right to vote before you guys did. We gave women the right to vote before you did. Honestly, I think we're just far better educated.
And I remember you saying earlier that New Zealand needs more people to come and live in the country because there's been a mass exodus.
Please, we need an economy.
Yeah, the economy is not nearly as strong as it should be because so many New Zealanders are moving away. So, of course, you'd want to make the thought of moving to New Zealand for Australians as well to be look better. You know what I mean? Like, come on in, you can have this.
I think the listener should text in their thoughts. 0427-JOY949. You can also email us at onair@joy.org.au. I don't think we have anyone at the front desk at the moment, so don't call. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, I think...
Be like my parents.
Right.
Sometimes I cry.
Let's know which side of
we do share childhood trauma here on the kitchen table. Thank you, Shannon. I think we should go to a song.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
This is Polly Filler and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
You are on the kitchen table with Joy 94.9. Shannon has just been deported, but we're talking about New Zealand. Talking about New Zealanders and the denial of the vote and lots of political stuff. But no, Shannon's still here. I was just kidding.
That was a great recap there,
John. That's right. We did try and get the Department of Immigration involved, but, you know, strangely, they're not here. Strangely. Manus Island, anyone? Ooh.
Departing Whoa. From...
Departing.
Departing.
That was get on your boat.
Oh, my God.
All right. So, basically, yeah, welcome back.
We are
on the kitchen table.
Usually we talk about food, right?
I know. So we part of what we're doing today is we're discussing the fight that New Zealanders living in Australia are in to try and get back their rights that they lost in 2001. And part of that is we've got such a shared culture, and a lot of that is through food. I mean, we bought you the pavlova, we bought you lamingtons, we bought you pies, and you guys just... shut the door on us. What is this?
We like pies. We'll take those, but you can stay outside.
Because there's always that fight, you know, when they go, oh, you know, we invented it. And you guys get really into it. You're like, no, we made the pavlova. No, you didn't. It's like when you try and claim Russell Crowe. He is ours. Crowded house, you claim. And that is ours.
You can have Russell Crowe.
Yeah, you can have Russell Crowe back. But I think, yeah, no, it is a well-known phenomena that Australia does poach.
I think it's almost become like an ongoing joke. It's like, I think it's almost like Australia is like, yeah, let's just pretend that these guys are ours so we can tick off New Zealand and have a laugh at them.
Anytime we do anything, you guys claim it. Like Fred Hollows, he was made an Australian of the Year. He's ours. He's sorry, Johnny. That face. Look, okay. He does a lot for restoring eyesight for people in third world countries.
Oh, yeah. No, I know him.
So yeah, he removes their cataracts.
Yeah, we go way back.
Well, he's dead.
So. Oh, yeah. I said way back.
So basically anything...
Keith Urban. Like,
yeah, Keith Urban.
You can have Keith Urban.
You're only saying that because you don't like the genre of country. Mm. You've got Jay LaGuire, who does an amazing job on Home and Away as...
He's on Home and Away?
Oh, my God.
No, I'm pretty sure... What, like recently? I don't think so. But he was in Water Rats, and he used to do the Lion King stage production thingy.
Yeah, he was Mufasa... Mufasa?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a good one. I like him.
Then there's Rebecca Gibney, of course, who's in Packed to the Rafters.
Mm-hmm.
She's ours. Shut up, Australia.
Well, all right.
Or Lisa Chapel from, I'm not sure if you guys remember this, from McLeod's Daughters.
This is true. So it is a bit of a phenomena that New Zealanders do come over to Australia and... Perhaps we confuse embracing with stealing, but that's okay.
I'm not saying that Australia's good at that.
But there are reasons why that happen, yeah? Like, so when you look at things like economics and opportunities, you know, in smaller countries, you know, there may not be as many opportunities to grow and thrive professionally, whatever profession you're in. So, of course, you would go move to a bigger market. And I don't think that's a unique thing between New Zealand and Australia. I mean, Australians do that as well. Like, Australians move overseas to access a bigger market to further their own career. So if we look at people like musicians and performers, invariably they'll relocate to places like LA or the UK to really launch their career, even though they may have been really established back home.
This is true. But look, just quickly, I'm going to segue back to Russell Crowe, because I know, if he's not punching someone in a hotel lobby, he's annoying also the Department of Immigration. This is a really good point. I mean, he was born in New Zealand. He is a New Zealander by birth, but he's made his home in Australia since he was a small child. Now, he is the son of movie set caterers. He got his acting bug very early in life. And, what happened with Russell Crowe? Because he's a very good point about this whole change in immigration. Crowe was out of the country on February the 26th, 2001, attending the BAFTA Awards when the Australian government changed the citizenship laws relating to New Zealand immigrants. You know, he was also out of the country for more than 12 months of the preceding 2 years, making and promoting Gladiator, for which he won the Oscar, and Beautiful Mind, for which he was also nominated for Best Actor the following year. I think also a year the Australians claimed him. But because he was out during these times, he fails to meet the criteria for permanent citizenship under the Family and Community Services Legislation Amendment Act 2001. You claim him, but you know what? You've denied him a lot of rights, despite the fact that he's given so much to the Australian entertainment community.
Hmm.
He can buy his own country now. He's rich.
I don't know. Didn't he lose money on the Rabbitohs?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we don't talk about that.
I think we should hear back from Tim Gasson.
So, yeah, we're crossing to Tim, and he's going to talk about... We're actually discussing how this policy is unsustainable.
You're in the kitchen table here on Joy 94.9.
Unsustainable in many ways. Obviously, just with relations with New Zealand, it is damaging them when you consider that this affects about 200,000 people. So that's about 1/20 of the population of New Zealand. And when you look at that, that's going to be... Essentially, everyone in New Zealand's going to have a close friend or family member who's affected by this. But if Australian politicians think that they can continue this sort of stuff, and it won't cause problems in the relationship between Australia and New Zealand, they really need to think about this quite a bit more. It's also going to obviously have effects in Australia, that you are creating... particularly amongst young people from poorer backgrounds, you are creating an underclass. It's just creating this sort of group of people who are just locked out of opportunity in Australia, that they've been brought up in Australia, they identify as Australian, but essentially they're being told, you can never be an Australian, you can never be equal with your peers, which I think is just absolutely disastrous. And it's also got a very big, I think particularly because of the way it's affecting Australia-New Zealand relations, it's also got a very big chance of actually affecting the broader economic relationship between the two countries. That we're in a position now where essentially, I think in many respects, the trans-Tasman relationship, unless New Zealand sees some movement on this, is going to ground to a halt. Like, I know a lot of businesses want to see further integration, but I think people are questioning that. It's like, well, why should New Zealand get more and more into bed with Australia when on this sort of these sort of simple issues Australia won't budge. That I don't think anyone's asking, saying Kiwi should be able to step off the plane and get the full entitlement of Australian citizens. But why, for example, do we have people after 5, 10 more years have no pathway to citizenship, have been paying taxes all this time, and really have very limited rights? I think
you're on the kitchen table here with Shannon, Johnny and Christian. We were just hearing from Tim Gasson from Oz Kiwi talking about, I guess, the injustice of the current situation for New Zealander rights here in Australia.
Well, I think when you consider Tim's point there, where how many New Zealanders are here, I mean, just the mass migration, you will all eventually know a New Zealander. You will have eventually had maybe an awkward date with a New Zealander. Someone you know's had a, you know, an exchange. You know, even your prime minister is married to a New Zealander.
Mm.
So it's not like this policy won't impact you.
Mm.
Your friends, your lovers, and the person who you think is super dodgy at the bus stop is impacted.
Even like there's an immense number of people right here at Joy 94.9 from New Zealand. And, you know, it's not surprising that, you know, like I have a lot of friends from New Zealand, but they do. You were saying before that, New Zealanders tend to work a lot more. They also, well, if you look at our station, they seem to volunteer a lot, you know, compared to a lot of other migrants. So
yeah, we're in the community and we do love Australia. That's why we're here. We're not here because we go, oh, what a terrible country. We're here and we want to give back, and we are giving back. And I think we, statistically speaking, we give back more than Australia does per capita in Australia. Johnny, what do you think?
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
What a surprise.
Not to you. Your accent kind of just disappeared into my brain somewhere. But no, you keep telling me, like, when you mentioned earlier in the show that New Zealand people were labeled as being lazy, right?
Mm.
I don't agree with that one at all. I think New Zealand people who migrate in tend to have a lot to contribute as well. Like, I'm not going to oppose you on that one at all. And, I think they have to work hard though, because they're not given the chance to take the Centrelink payments and all that kind of stuff. So if they want to live and work, they have to earn enough money to support themselves. You know,
it is a bit of a chicken and the egg situation, yeah, though, because I think there is this belief that if you give people welfare, they become lazy, and it's just not true.
Mm.
Because people, well, certainly in my experience, people do want to work. People do want to contribute. Sometimes people, and I'm speaking very generally, of course, but I think it's a very sort of classist discussion that doesn't sit comfortably with me. That if you make it easy for people will become lazy. Because in my experience, that's just not true. And I mean, I work in the community sector. I work with a lot of people who are on welfare who would rather not be given the opportunity and chances, like, to change that situation. They would certainly opt out of it. And certainly, I think that's true for a lot of New Zealanders as well.
Well, it's kind of the pot calling the kettle black in my case, because I take youth allowance and stuff while I'm studying, and I know that New Zealanders don't get that opportunity to get the extra payments while they're in school. So I understand that. Oh my God, I just lost my train of thought. No, here we go. Okay. But I would really want to know what the reasoning behind the denial to welfare payments is, because I understand that, I mean, it makes sense to me that they wouldn't want people migrating to Australia straight off the bat, having no plan, and then just taking welfare payments and then deciding after X amount of years or whatever, oh, you know, this isn't for me, I'm just going to go back to New Zealand. So I understand it from that point of view, but I think if you lose your job while you're working in Australia and you don't have access to that, I think there should be some kind of system in place that says that you can prove, hey, look, I've moved to Australia, I'm a New Zealand citizen, I've worked here and here and here for the last 2-3 years, because of the economy, I've just lost my job, and then you should qualify for Centrelink, welfare payments, something like that, you know, mm-hmm. something to support the loss of income. I think that would be good.
Absolutely. I think this is a really awesome discussion, and we've got to go to some messages right now, but we'll be back, and you are on the kitchen table here with Shannon, Johnny and Christian.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
You are on the kitchen table here on Joy 94.9, and I keep forgetting to mention on Sydney Star Observer digital pop-up radio station.
Hi, Sydney.
Hi, Sydney. I can't believe Melbourne's ignoring Sydney. When does it happen? Boom.
Happy Mardi Gras.
I hope you're not my ex that's listening. Because he moved to Sydney.
Text in 0427 Joy 949.
If you are Johnny Lemon's ex, we want to know.
All of them.
Especially if you're a New Zealander living here in Australia.
Oh, the SMS service just crashed.
I have two New Zealand exes.
Oh.
I know.
It's all about being multicultural here on the kitchen table. Look, we've got Tim on the line with us still, and we are now going to go in and examine family violence. Let's find out how that relates to this policy.
There's still quite a few more British-born in Australia, largely from the migration in sort of the 50s, 60s and 70s. But in recent years, Kiwis have been the biggest single group coming to Australia.
Yeah. With our increase and considering how close we are, and now that we're in your schools and we're in your workplaces, taking Australian jobs from Australian people, do you think there'll be a positive resolution?
I certainly hope so, and I think there'll have to be at some point. And I think it's even been recognised, even if politicians aren't saying it, at least some are recognising it. And I think certainly within parts of the federal bureaucracy, there's a recognition that this needs to be resolved. It's just an issue of there's always some excuse to put it off. For a while, it was the excuse that, well, look how many New Zealanders are coming at this time. We can't, oh, this could be a very expensive thing to do, therefore we'll put it off. Now it's, oh, not so many New Zealanders are coming, but the federal budget doesn't look very good. So, oh, we can't afford to do it now. And there's always some reason that sort of, like, something will need to be done. You're sort of, I suppose, in a position now where you're going to, if this went on forever, you could be in a position where a child brought to Australia as a one-week-old baby could live out their life here, reach 90 years old, and still never be eligible for Australian citizenship. This is sort of, it just, it's a policy that just creates so many sort of levels of absurdity, and there's so much, I suppose, things of just sort of manifest injustice to certain individuals that it'll need to be fixed in one way or another. It's just what that fix will be and when it'll come. And we're obviously trying to push for one that will be the one that will embrace all people who are here and will come as soon as possible.
Do you think we'll be seeing that movement under, because at the moment we've, both countries are led by the Conservative parties.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll see any sort of movement under a Key or an Abbott? Sorry to everyone, that's a John Key and a Tony Abbott joint negotiations.
In some ways, it's always possible. And I suppose that's the thing, that this is the first, it's only in the last year there's been really large-scale campaigning about it. So we could see movement. At the same time, there are things that very much go against it, that certainly John Key, I think there's a recognition even within by many Australian politicians that he's soft peddling on the issue, that he seems to be saying what he needs to say to satisfy a domestic audience in New Zealand, but not really pushing it. And as some people have pointed out cynically, that he came to power essentially on a thing of saying, well, look how many Kiwis are going to Australia. This is because New Zealand's being mismanaged. And he was the person who's going to fix that. Of course, actually under him, now things are looking a lot better, but for some time under him, those records, the migration of New Zealanders to Australia reached new heights. So he's perhaps wanting to avoid anything that might encourage more New Zealanders to come to Australia. Then in some ways, having Kiwis seeing, like, well, you can go to Australia, you can live there, you can contribute, and when something goes wrong in your life, or you actually want to have a say, you'll be told to bugger off, that might work well for him. Of course, Abbott's, in some way, well, Abbott's an interesting one. Of course, his wife's a Kiwi.
Mm.
It does seem a little hypocritical that he was very happy. He seems perfectly happy for his wife to have come to Australia and enjoyed all the benefits of citizenship practically immediately, whilst he's happy to deny that to everyone else. So that's, it does seem a little odd. At the same time, though, he's probably, of course, the Liberals are always keen to be seen as tough, cracking down on welfare, cracking down on immigrants.
So you've got to crack down on those immigrants.
Yes. Yes, all these Kiwis. Yes, all the
all the Kiwis.
As we saw in some of the,
with their beautiful accents.
Yes. Well, as we saw in some of the Murdoch tabloids over, was it been about a week ago, all these sort of articles talking about Kiwi layabouts flooding in, all these sort of, just like, there's actually no basis to the reporting, but that this is a myth that's very much out there still, and I don't think Abbott, in some ways, he might be a little cautious before opening himself to sort of anything that could suggest that he's being more generous to any migrant group, particularly Kiwis.
Well, we're such scum.
Yes, clearly. They clearly do nothing good at all for Australia.
Fred Hollows. It just... Sorry. Did that sound like words?
Vaguely.
You're on the kitchen table here on Joy 94.9. We were experiencing a bit of technical difficulties that had caused Tim to sort of speak prematurely about solutions.
Resolutions? Oops. What? What is this, Tim? There's a possible solution going on?
But he did talk about a number of really good points there about how we can move forward in the future.
He did. I especially like his point about how it might not work in the New Zealand government's favour to lobby hard for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do, as far as I'm aware, want lots of New Zealand citizens to return, especially those with student loan repayments.
Mm.
Who would that be?
Oh, Shannon.
But no, I mean, I guess it's in the economics of migration here. If more New Zealanders did return home, then New Zealand would have a stronger economy. And also, the idea of staying here and making it worse for us to stay here will make us leave. Does that make sense? And they'll be like, oh, well, more Australians will have more jobs and that sort of thing. So I think that's what we're looking at, the economics of migration.
And really, Australia needs no more excuses to be, like, less welcoming to people coming
as, your country.
We have had a couple of messages in, firstly from Cheryl Ann.
Yep. Okay, well, we had a message in from Cheryl Ann. It said something along the lines of...
She loves New Zealanders but hates pavlova, yucky, chucky. Thank you, Cheryl Ann. We also had a message from Guy from South Kingsville who raised the point around, you know, if this policy was applied to other sort of migrant groups like refugees or asylum seekers, that there would be a massive outcry, just like there is now with the sort of refugee situation. But because it is New Zealand, there that, you know, we do sort of take for granted that that, you know, that we don't really support the human rights of people who are our closest neighbours. And New Zealand, and Guy was talking about, he's been here for 30 years and an Australian citizen, but New Zealand paid for his schooling, he's paid his taxes for all that time he's been here. Something is wrong with that policy, and if you treat a good friend like that. So thank you, Guy from South Kingsville, for that message.
I also want to point out, and I'm actually going to jump in here and say, you know, especially the point of a good friend, Australia, who else is going to be your friend on the diplomatic stage? It's certainly not Indonesia. America will leave you at the drop of a hat if you don't support it and its wars on anyone. And the UK gave up caring about your existence in about the 1950s. So really, the only country who is going to ever stand by you through thick and thin is New Zealand.
What about Switzerland? They love everyone.
Switzerland couldn't... Could they find you on a map?
Probably not.
Could you find Switzerland on a map?
Yeah, it's up top somewhere.
So the point is, especially in the Asia-Pacific region, we're it, Australia. New Zealand is the only country that will ever stand by you.
Before Tim was talking about resolutions, he did speak with us about some of the problems that that are occurring from the sort of Australian-New Zealand situation, with a focus on domestic violence.
There is a really good focus on domestic violence, and this is a point that I'm not sure if many Australians are aware of, and if they would be so for New Zealanders not having rights if they knew what the consequences were.
Yeah, so let's go to that discussion now. You're on the kitchen table with Johnny, Shannon and Christian.
Joy 94.9.
I think that a lot of Australian politicians haven't realised that we're heading into, well, this year's the centenary of the First World War, next year's the centenary of the Anzac landings, and they don't realise quite the effect this is having on the relationship. Like, I was quite amazed. I was actually in New Zealand for part of the last two Australian federal election campaigns. The sort of one before last, so watching the news there, you didn't hear anything about this issue. When I was there last year, though, pretty much every single news report brought up the issue of Kiwis not being able to vote and the treatment of New Zealanders more generally in Australia. Like, it's becoming a very big issue. It's sort of constantly in the papers, in the media, and is very much colouring the relationship between the two countries, which I think is a great pity.
Could we say that New Zealanders living in Australia are becoming a marginalised community?
Yes, certainly. I think for the most people are still doing well, that they're economically successful, they've got jobs, they're working, they're raising their families. For all of those people, there's certainly a frustration that they can't get the vote. This is something that's really grating a lot of people, but it's very much a sort of smaller minority of people who are in these, in some cases, in appalling circumstances, where it could be people with sort of children with disabilities. Some of the worst ones we hear again and again are women fleeing domestic violence, where they can flee an abusive partner, they don't get any assistance. Because they won't get Centrelink help, so they can't...
So there's no financial support?
No, there's none of the usual support that'd be given to any other permanent resident in Australia. And because they can't get Centrelink support, often they won't be able to go and stay in many women's refuges. Because either they're government-funded and they require you to be in receipt of a Centrelink payment, that's how they determine eligibility. Or they could be a one run by a private charity or something that actually requires people to make a contribution to the costs. And if they haven't got work, they might have children with them and they can't get any Centrelink support. They're essentially stuffed. And the worst thing about it is many of them can't leave the country as well. People always say, well, why don't you go back to New Zealand? Because of the Hague Convention, they can't take the children out of the country without the father's permission. So they're stuck in Australia. They have no support here. And essentially, well, what's the option? Live in your car with your kids, stay with the abusive partner, or leave your kids in state care in Australia and go back to New Zealand?
When these situations do occur, what are their outcomes?
I think in most cases, from most of these women we've heard from, they've managed to get their lives back on track in some way, usually somewhere down the track.
But it's never immediate. It's not an easy solution.
It's not an easy solution. Obviously, in any domestic violence case, it's not an easy solution, but it's sort of at a point where we're a wealthy, developed nation. Like, these people are part of our community. Why are we throwing these women out on the street? Why? It's something just so blatantly obvious that these are people in need. These are people who've been contributing taxes to Australia. They are Australia's problem. And in many cases, they've been beaten up by Australian partners. So why isn't the Australian government taking some responsibility and really stepping up and dealing with this?
That was Tim Gasson from Oz Kiwi. You're on the kitchen table with Shannon, Johnny and Christian.
I think it's a really important point he makes there. It's with not being able to flee the country with your child if you are caught in a family violence situation.
Yeah.
And I don't think many Australians who oppose the rights of New Zealand citizens here actually understand that.
Yeah, that there are actually real life implications around people's human rights and safety that are actually being compromised because we're not dealing with this situation as best we could.
And the thing is, it's a situation Australian politicians have created. These are the politicians that Australians have voted in.
I kind of wish that, like, this is something that I hadn't learned about until today, and I kind of wish that there was some more awareness about this, because that's something that definitely needs to be fixed. Whether or not New Zealanders are given the vote, whether or not they're made citizens, it's a loophole that is causing a lot of problems for families that are in bad situations.
Yeah, and I think we can all, I guess, agree, the Australians and the single New Zealander in the room can agree that you do have to put the rights of the child ahead of petty differences.
So state and national differences as well.
Like, this is your future. This is a future citizen of Australia. Once again, to that point where these guys have to stay in the country for 10 years before they're classed as Australians. My God, you're creating an underclass. You're creating a second class citizen.
That's not what I was going to say. I was going to say secondhand citizen.
Like a terrible coat.
Oh.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
You're on the kitchen table here with Johnny, Shannon and Christian here on Joy 94.9 and all the way in Sydney on Sydney Star Observer Digital. Hi, Sydney.
Hi, Sydney.
Hi, Pete and the other guy.
God. We're going through Johnny's exes who are currently living in Sydney. But before we get into that for next week, we want to thank Oz Kiwi spokesman Tim Gasson for coming in and talking to us about the ongoing fight that New Zealand citizens are having to gain certain things in Australia, like the right to vote and the right to flee family violence situations.
All good things, really.
Terrific.
The time is 1 minute to two. You have been on the kitchen table here with Shannon, Johnny and Christian. Thank you for joining us. It's been a really informative show. Thank you, Shannon, for bringing this topic to our attention.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.